Any children left? Children, you are dismissed to go to children's church if you haven't already done so. I know some of them scooted on out of here. Man, they're excited about children's church, and I like that. That's incredible. At the age of 16, when I made a decision to give my life to Christ, I was encouraged to read through the book of John. I was a new Christian. At that point in my life, I knew about God, but I didn't have a relationship with God. Well, John, on the other hand, he had a relationship with God, and we're going to see that this morning. John, in his gospel, presents us with an accurate account of the life of Christ. From his birth through the period of his life, those 33 and a third years that he lived here on this earth, to his death, and then he even goes in to describe the resurrection. But I'm going to jump ahead to the end of the book just for a second, and we'll put the words up here so you don't have to look it up. But at the end of the book, John in chapter 21, verses 24 to 25, he says this, "This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. And if every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be to written." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning. Father, we thank you this morning that we can come in your presence, God, to worship the living God, the Jehovah Jireh, the God of my salvation. God, we love you this morning. We thank you so much for being here with us. And God, we thank you so much that you have given us your word. Father, we pray that you would bless your word this morning. Father, use it. Father, speak through me. Allow this not to be my words, but God, your words. Father, we love you. We just pray that you'd do a mighty work in this service. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Well, unlike Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John goes back even further than they do in beginning this account of the life of Christ. And he begins his account with the Word. Turn with me to John chapter 1, and we're going to read a couple of passages in John chapter 1. And as you saw in the video, that's where it's coming from. That same passage that we saw. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was with God in the beginning. I believe that the first thing that John wants us to realize here in this passage about the Word is that the Word is permanent. When John mentions the Word, if you'll notice in your Bible, it's capitalized, a big W. And that is in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus, the Word, has always been here. He wasn't created, and he's not going anywhere. He is permanent. In life, I don't know about you, but I don't know too many things that are really permanent in this life. Things that we can always depend on. Think about this. Jobs, they can be lost. Relationships, they can be broken. Allstate, for those of you that have Allstate insurance, they tell us that we can count on them, but tomorrow they could be bankrupt. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself is here yesterday, today, and praise God, he'll be here forever. We serve a permanent God, the Word. Scripture teaches us, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." That means the beginning and the end. And that doesn't mean that God had a beginning and he has an end. He's just saying, "Hey guys, I've been here way before anything was ever thought of, and I'm going to be here till it's all gone away. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end." The Word, folks, is permanent. The second thing I think John wants to show us about the Word this morning is found in verse 3. Look with me there. John writes, "Through him all things were made, and without Him, nothing was made that has been made. The second thing I think John wants to teach us this morning is that the Word is powerful. Did you know that the Lord Jesus Himself took part in creation? Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 1, the very first book of the Bible. Very first chapter. Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 26. It's a beautiful sound, you know. Turning of God's Word. I love it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" You see, the Bible is referring to here in this passage of Scripture when He says, "Let us make man in our image." God's not talking to Himself. I know some of you out there, you like to talk to yourself. Well, God isn't talking to Himself. He's talking to the triune God. The three parts of God. There's God the Father, God the Son, which we know is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God the Holy Spirit. It's amazing to me that Jesus Christ, the Word, has always been here. He was here and was a humongous part of the foundations, what we know as the earth and the firmaments and the heavens and everything that was created, whether we can see it or whether we can't see it, was created by God. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus, along with God, created everything, yet nothing created Jesus. Just think about that for a second. Jesus created everything, but nothing created Jesus. That's a fantastic thought, and something that our little minds is really hard to understand, that God was not created. He is permanent. He has always been here. And He is powerful. I lived in Florida for about 25 years of my life. I grew up, I was born and raised in Florida. During my time in Florida, I encountered many of the things that we see on the news right now that's taking place in Florida, and those are called hurricanes. I've experienced some big ones, and I've experienced some small ones, and my folks right now are probably in the middle of the hurricane. And while you were sleeping, and while I was sleeping, Hurricane Frances was doing her thing, and she was doing a lot of damage to the coast and to the the inland part of Florida. But I can remember one time when I was a college student, I was working at a place over in Dunedin near Newport Richey where I went to school, and I was working at a place called Jesse's Seafood House. And Jesse's Seafood House used to be called Jesse's Dockside. And the reason why it was called Jesse's Dockside is because this here would be the restaurant. And if you would look out this way, your tables were lined up right next to these big, beautiful, humongous windows. And they were just lined up along the one side of the restaurant. And so no matter where you had a seat, you always had a view of the dock side. And so outside those windows were these big, beautiful canvas of sailboats and different boats. And these boats were absolutely beautiful. And the atmosphere was really cool. But I can remember one time I was going to go to work, and we had been watching the news, and there were some reports that we had a hurricane or a tropical storm or something of that nature that was heading our direction. And it was going to do quite a bit of damage. At least they were under assumption that it would. And I called my boss and I said, "Hey, do I got to come to work?" Because I really didn't want to go to work. And I just wanted an excuse out. He said, "Yeah, you need to come to work." Well, I came to work that night, and we started working. I guess it was maybe an all-day Saturday, because I got there that morning, and about midday it started to get more windy, and less customers started coming in. And the longer it got, it just basically got dead in the restaurant. But I can remember looking outside at those beautiful windows and those beautiful sailboats, And those sailboats began to do this number, rocking back and forth. And so I'm looking around. I'm like, my tables are clean. And we ain't got any customers coming in. And they ain't crazy enough to come in. They're sitting at home where I should be. But I said, I want to do something. And so I began to walk to the door of Jesse's seafood house. And I began to open the door. And as I tried to open the door, it was very hard to open, because the wind was just blowing the door tremendously. And so I opened up the door and walked out. And sure enough, as soon as I let go of the door, it just slammed, because I wasn't holding on to it. But I began to walk outside. And as I walked outside, the wind was just blowing against me. It was blowing through my hair. I had a little bit more hair then. And as I walked outside, and it was just absolutely incredible, these sailboats are just being tossed to and fro, these big sailboats. And at that time, you could look down, and there was a seawall there. And from the top of the seawall to where the water is, there was probably about 10 feet normally. Well, now there's about 3 feet. The water had risen so high, and the waves would just bash up against the seawall. And it was absolutely incredible. And as I was standing there, I just looked up to God and I said, "Wow, God, you're amazing." Because what I realized in that moment in time, God has control over that. God has control. If He wants to create a storm, He can create a storm. If God wants to calm the storm, He could have calmed the storm just like that. And it was amazing to me to be able to witness and experience firsthand the power of the Word, the power of Christ, and the power of God. I was at awe at His power. Folks, there's power in the Word. I hope you realize that this morning. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Through the spoken Word of God. He didn't touch anything. He just spoke it into existence. Jesus, while He was living on the earth, He said, "Peace, be still." Do you remember that story? The disciples and Jesus were out on the boat on the Sea of Galilee. And there was this huge, massive storm that arose. And they awoke Jesus because they were scared for their life. And all He did was just look out over the sea and said, "Peace, be still." And the waves just died down. There's power in the Word. Jesus once told a man that He approached, He said, "Son, pick up your mat and walk." And that would be an easy thing for me to say or you to say. But the problem is this guy couldn't walk. But yet when Christ spoke to him, Scripture says He picked up His mat and He walked. There's power in the Word. There's another account in Scripture where Jesus spoke these words, "Lazarus, come forth." And here a dead man, a guy that had been dead in a tomb for about 3 days, comes hobbling out, wrapped up in grave clothes. Folks, there's power in the Word. So not only is God's Word permanent, it's unchangeable, it's there forever, God has always existed, but the Word is powerful. But the third thing I think John wants to show us this morning is found in verse 14. Turn with me there. John chapter 1, verse 14. And John writes, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth." You see, I believe what John wants to show us here about the Word is that not only is the Word powerful, not only is it permanent, but the Word is personal. You see, John knew and had experienced this relationship with Christ. And he says, "The Word, Jesus Himself, became flesh and made His dwelling among us." I believe that Jesus made Himself flesh and He came to this earth not only to save us from our sins and to provide a sacrifice for those sins. I believe He came to live among us, to be an example for us to live by. You see, Jesus came And he lived some 33 years on this earth so that you and I could witness his life, witness his testimony, and use that as an example for us to live by on a day-to-day basis. Jesus, during his life, not only did he tell us to love one another, he showed us how to love one another. No matter where Christ went, he was reaching out to people. He reached out to the prostitutes and loved them. He reached out to the Pharisees, the religious leaders. He reached out to the believers, to the disciples, to anybody that he came in contact with. He didn't just talk about loving them. He showed us how to love them. That's one of the reasons why Christ came, to show us how to live. Jesus desires that you and I not pattern ourselves after this world, but to pattern ourselves and our lives after the Word, after Him, after Himself. He wants to know us relationally. He wants to know us intimately, as Scripture has taught us. The Word is an incredible thing. You and I can speak words, but God can speak words into existence. There's nothing that God cannot do in your life. It's powerful. It's permanent. And praise God, He's personal. You see, God isn't a God that created us and just left us to our own demise. But the Scripture teaches that when God comes into fellowship with man, when we receive Him, accept Him, and desire to know Him, He says He comes down not only to earth to die for our sins, which He did some 2,000 years ago, but the Scripture teaches that His Holy Spirit, His love, and Himself comes to dwell inside of the believer. God, the Word, Jesus, is personal. Man, I am excited about that, church. Because there is a relationship that I can have and that I do have with the God that we sang about, the God of all creation. And when we sang about, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me, church, that I am His own. That is a beautiful picture of His love for me and His love for you. It's exciting that the God of the universe cares enough about you, enough about your problems, enough about your hurts, enough about your frustrations, that He wants that relationship with you. God's Word, Jesus, is personal. I love that. But let me ask us this. If God's Word, Jesus, and His written Word, are all three of these things, if it's permanent, if it's powerful, and has the ability to change our lives and the lives of this world, and He's personal, why do we spend so little time with the Word and in the Word? I know when I have to ask myself that question, it kind of humbles me. Because I realize that in our lives, a lot of times we allow different things to take place of the Word. We get caught up in our jobs, in our relationships. We get caught up in our hobbies. We get caught up in doing a lot of things. But even as we were talking about in our Sunday school class this morning, what are we doing that really matters? That matters for kingdom purposes, for God's purposes? How much time are we actually spending with the Lord? Is it something that we just get up every morning because we've always got up every morning at 7 o'clock and we have a quiet time and we read His Word and say a prayer and then we're gone? And that's the extent of our faith? Is it when we go to bed at night and you've looked at the day before, that current day, and you go, oh man, I didn't even say hi to God this morning, so I'm about to go to bed because I'm really tired and I got to get up early for school tomorrow? or get up for work tomorrow and so let me shoot God just a quick prayer? Is that the extent of our relationship? I hope not. Because God desires more from us. He wants to know us. He wants to be intimate with us. He wants that fellowship each and every day. Not just in the morning, not just when you say your prayer for breakfast or lunch or dinner, but He wants an ongoing, throughout the day, relationship. Not a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night kind of relationship, but a 24-hour, 7 days a week relationship with us. God is personal. The Word is permanent. The Word is powerful. And the Word is personal. God is permanent. He will never change, folks. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the rock that you can cling on and cling to when everything else in life seems to be falling apart. He's permanent. God's Word is powerful. Those areas in our lives that we haven't been able to give up, those struggles, that thing that we call sin, God is powerful to change your circumstances, to change your heart, and to change your desire and your focus. God's Word is personal. God's Word, as we study it, as we get to know the Word, the Lord Jesus Himself, He begins to give us purpose. He begins to give us meaning in our life. And He gives us direction in the way that we need to walk, in the way that we need to live, in the way that we need to act. It's our compass that always leads us in the right direction if we're willing to follow Him. My challenge to each one of us today, myself included, is this. Are you hungry for the Word? Do you have an intimate desire to say, God, I want to know You? There may be folks in this church, in this building right now, that don't have this relationship that John spoke about and the one that I've been sharing about for the past few minutes. If you don't have that relationship, I'm going to challenge you this morning. Come. Come. God wants to know you, and He wants you to know Him. There may be somebody here that really, they just need to experience God's power. They need to experience God to do just a mighty work in their life. Maybe it's a rough home life. Maybe it's a job situation, financial situation, whatever. And you just need to see God's power. I pray that you'll find it this morning. I pray that He'll reveal that to you. You may have your life falling apart, and you need something that you can cling on, something that isn't deteriorating, something that isn't going astray and going awry, but something that is permanent. I want to challenge you. The answer is Christ. The answer is found in His Word and in that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you desire to study His Word daily? Regularly, frequently, getting to know the Savior. My challenge for us is that we would be hungry for the Word this morning. I'm going to ask Jason to come and just play something. As he plays, I don't know what's going on in your heart and in your life. I just know that God's Word means everything to me. You see, because without Christ, my life would have no meaning. My life would have no purpose. And I would have no direction in life. I would just kind of be wandering around this life going, what am I here for? We're going to be addressing those types of questions next month when we get into 40 days of purpose. What am I here for, God? Why did You create me? Do You have a plan for my life? And how can I align my life with that plan? I don't know what God is doing in your life right now or where you're at. But I want you to know, there's freedom at the cross. There's power at the cross. There's forgiveness at the cross. There's comfort at the cross. The Word, Jesus, wants you. The question is how much do we want Him? Do we desire to know Him with everything that we have? To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, with all of our mind, with everything that we have? Or do we give Him our second best? If you need to make a decision to follow Christ this morning, I encourage you to just come. If you just need to spend some time alone with God and just say, God, I love you. I want to worship the God of creation. And you just want to do that, I want you to feel free to come and do that. If you need to speak with myself or Pastor Bill, we'd love to be able to pray with you. If you've been looking for a church home for some time and you feel that God is leading you here to First Baptist Grand, and you'd like to make that public, whatever decision that you need to make, I just pray that we all just stand and you just take some moments as Jason plays and you just talk to God. Talk to Him about what's going on in your life. And then listen for Him. Listen for His voice. Listen for His Spirit to let you know what you need to do. And just be obedient to Him, whatever that might be. You guys can be seated. Well, I'm excited about God's Word, and I just want to encourage you, get into it. I encourage you to draw close to Christ. He wants that from each one of us. And none of us have arrived in our relationship with Christ, and we never will until we meet Him face to face. We all can work on areas to be more like Him. This morning, Angie, come up here, girl. She talked to me the other day. She said, Michael, I've been coming to this church longer than you have. But that's all right. That's wonderful. Today, Angie desires to become a member of First Baptist Church and desires to really just begin to connect and get plugged in and to be able to serve her Lord and her Savior. And she knows Him as Lord and Savior. She just desires to be a part of this fellowship. And if you're excited about that as much as I am, you'd let it be known by saying amen. Angie, we welcome you to your church and our church and your family. God bless you. Pastor Bill?
Aren't you glad this morning that the Word is permanent, powerful, so we'll try this one, Larry. How's that? Electronics are wonderful when they work. One of the other things, you know, as we think about the Word this morning, the Word also teaches us about stewardship and about giving. And we saved it till the end to be a little different this morning. But We'd like to take a moment to take up the Lord's offering because we're commanded to give. We're commanded to give back to the church. And so would you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful this morning to the permanence of your word. Father, to realize that it is the same today, tomorrow, and for eternity. And we just thank you and we praise you. And Father, we do thank you for how powerful it is, for how it changes our life. Beginning with our salvation, Father, to changing us into becoming more like Christ. And Father, the fact that it's personal, because Father, yet to those who believe, you gave us the right to become your children. And now, Father, as your children this morning, may we just give back to you.